Hello, everyone. Welcome to Office Hours. I hope everyone is having a fantastic day. I had a great day today. Corinne and I podcasted today, and we did two really good podcasts. Of course, they're all good, right? But I really enjoyed today's. I was super excited because I helped conceptualize one of them. It was fun to just talk, to just say, why don't we do this? And here, I'm just going to talk and you tell me what you think. And it was pretty cool. So here's how Office Hours works. I am here for the next 2 hours. It is 6 p.m. Central. I'll be here until 8. It's open coaching. Anything you want, any questions you have, just raise your hand. I will bring you on screen and we will talk. You guys will be put, Zoom will put you in order. So I'll know who raised their hand, you know, and in what order. I would encourage you, though, not to put your hand down and then try and raise it again because you'll go to the bottom of the list. Okay. If you want to discuss things among yourselves, use the chat. Make sure you use all panelists and attendees. If you only post to all panelists, I'm the only one who's going to see your post, and I don't check the chat very often. Okay. If you have a question for me and there's time at the end, you can put it in the Q&A and I will go through those at the end. Okay. So let's get started. I have Debbie and then Teresa. So Debbie, let's see what you got. By the way, while Debbie is coming on screen, I'm sure you all know me, but if you don't, I'm Kathy. I am obviously the podcast co-host, because I've already said that. Debbie, I'm going to ask you to start your video here. Lost 80 pounds, been with Corinne about 6 years. Left my full-time job about 9 months ago to do this part all full-time, and I am loving it. So hello, Miss Debbie. How are you? Are you there? Debbie, I think you are frozen. You might want to go to a place that has, can you walk to a place that has a stronger internet connection, maybe? I can hear you.
Let me try.
Oh, wait a minute. There was your voice.
Can you hear me now?
Yes. Yes, barely. You're kind of shaky, okay, so we'll see how that does.
Okay. Let me go inside and see if I can get a better connection inside.
Yeah. I tell you what, while you do that, I'm going to take the next person, but I'll take you right back. So we'll look for Debbie after Teresa. Then I have Susan and Stephanie. Teresa, are you here?
Yes. Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Let's see if we can get that video started.
Okay. I've got it.
All right. Hi.
Hi. How are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
Good. I'm having a really, really hard time getting started. My first excuse was waiting for my planner, my no BS, and then I got that, and I did maybe 2 days of my 24-hour plan, and forgot to bring it to work one day with me, and that was it. Like, because I didn't do that, I didn't do it anymore, and that was about a week ago, and since that day of kind of putting it aside, I've been on like a complete free-for-all with trying to get as much crap into me as humanly possible.
So, your brain is like, oh my gosh, she tried to plan.
Yeah.
No. We better put on the brakes. We better eat it all before she tries to plan again.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah. I put a message on the Facebook group, and I posted to the Ask Coaches as well.
Okay.
And I just thought, I just need to just get on here and just ask you, like, I don't know what my problem is. I feel like I'm sabotaging myself. Like, I don't know why. This seems like if you do this, this will work. I don't understand why. I just can't do it. Get off my butt and just do it.
Well, you can. You're just deciding not to. Here's the funniest thing about this, okay? And I don't mean funny, haha. Well, maybe I do mean funny, haha. You don't want to plan, yet you asked for help in three different places.
Right? Yes.
So you really haven't, I mean, you're telling yourself, I don't know why I can't get started and blah, 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 blah. You haven't quit. You're still trying to figure it out because you're asking me for help. You ask, I'm guessing, did you get an answer in Ask Coaches?
Not yet. Asked today.
Okay. Well, you asked Betsy or me, whoever gets to you in it. Maybe I'll leave that one for Betsy because that will be really interesting for you to get two different perspectives.
Okay. Right?
We might say the same thing and we might not. You never know.
Right.
But you haven't quit. You're still trying to figure it out. So recognize that first. Okay.
Okay.
Because you posted in Facebook, did you say?
Yeah.
Yeah. And I bet you got a lot of responses too.
People
tell you, what did they tell you to do?
They said to ask coaches, do the Ask Coaches, and to do a recovery worksheet, which I really haven't even gotten to that in my no BS thing
yet. Yeah, don't do that yet.
Okay. And to do a 24-hour plan right now, like with whatever my next meal would be.
Okay. So let's do that. That'll be fun. We'll do that together. Okay.
Okay.
So have you had dinner yet?
Yes.
So are you finished eating for the night?
Yes.
Okay. Everybody on this call just heard Teresa say she's finished eating for the night. Right?
That's right.
Good. You have a whole bunch, like 100 people who heard you.
Yeah.
All right. So, tell me what you ate today. Tell me what breakfast was today.
Breakfast was, I don't even remember what. I had avocado, like toast strip, like toast with avocado in it, and pumpkin muffin, and I think a bagel.
Okay.
So lots of
that's
carbs.
Okay. What was lunch?
Lunch, I went to Arby's.
Okay.
So I had mozzarella sticks, a large curly fry, and a ham slider, and a large Diet Coke, of course. And for dinner, I had, of course, because I'm home with my family and I don't want them to think I'm doing a poor job at this, I had chicken and asparagus and Spanish rice.
Okay.
And I've had a pack of crackers after that.
Okay. So snacks, we had crackers.
Right.
What else?
I think that's it.
Okay. So if you had written this down yesterday, you would have followed your plan perfectly.
Right.
It's all it takes. Okay?
Okay.
Super easy. No judgment. I mean, you judged what you ate all the way down
today,
my whiteboard.
Yes, I did.
You said, that's a lot of carbs. I ate out because, and I didn't eat out, you know, I didn't want my family to see, right?
Right.
All right, so you have to stop judging your food. Okay, that's probably why you're not planning, because you're prejudging your food.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
So tomorrow for breakfast, are you going to have some more avocado toast?
Yes.
Okay. You going to have another pumpkin muffin?
Probably not, no.
Why not?
Because I don't think it's good. And
no,
it
wrong
today.
Answer. Don't judge your food. We're going to write down exactly what you're going to eat tomorrow. If there's a chance you're going to eat a pumpkin muffin tomorrow because they're around, they're good, they're seasonal. Are they still around? You still have some?
Mm-hmm.
We're going to keep it on the plan.
Okay.
Okay. Because we're not judging. We're doing, this is called realistic plan.
Okay.
If you were to tell me, no, I'm not having avocado toast and pumpkin muffin and a bagel tomorrow. I'm going to have some oatmeal with some berries and a little bit of peanut. No, because you're not. That's okay. Not where you are yet. That's what I had for breakfast was oatmeal.
Okay.
Starting out, I had the avocado toast, the pumpkin muffin, and the bagel. And I probably lumped a whole bunch of cream cheese on my bagel because that's how I like them. Okay. So is there a chance you'll eat a pumpkin muffin tomorrow?
Yes.
Okay. So we're going to keep that on the plan. What about the bagel?
Yes.
All right. Is there anything else for breakfast? Or is that?
That's it.
Okay. Perfect. What about lunch?
I'll probably have Chick-fil-A tomorrow for lunch.
Chick-fil-A. All right. So we're going to take Arby's off and we'll put on Chick-fil-A. What do you eat when you go to Chick-fil-A?
An 8-count nugget.
Okay.
With fries, Chick-fil-A sauce, and Polynesian sauce. And possibly a chocolate cookie.
Chick-fil-A. Nuggets. Fries. Cookie. Okay.
Yeah.
What are you planning for dinner tomorrow night?
Salmon with green beans.
That it? No rice, no potatoes, no.
I don't think so, no.
No, because you had asparagus and you had Spanish rice tonight, right?
Yeah, so, and the rice wasn't very good.
It didn't taste good. No. So just salmon and green beans tomorrow, nothing else?
Right. Maybe some ice cream.
Ah, okay. Let's put ice cream on. Ice cream sounds lovely. And should we keep crackers, the pack of crackers on for a snack in case you need it?
Yes.
Anything else?
No.
Okay. So here's tomorrow's plan. You just did tomorrow's plan. This is what we call a realistic plan, right? Realistic plan is writing down not what you think you should eat, but what you know you will eat. Because the most important thing to do at this stage of the process is to build a plan that you can commit to.
Okay.
Okay, because there is... The reason, I bet you those two plans that you didn't follow, right?
No.
Right. Okay, because you weren't ready for those plans yet.
Okay.
All right. Okay. Let's say Corinne had on her plan. I'm going to bet Corinne had on her plan today. A Kodiak pancake for breakfast, if she had breakfast. A salad for lunch and a salad for dinner. Okay?
Wow.
I would never make that plan for myself.
Okay.
First of all, I like salad okay, but I'm not eating more than one a day, if I have one a day. And I just don't, that's not my thing. Okay. And she's 13 years into weight loss. I'm 4. Okay.
Yeah.
You're a couple of weeks into weight loss. Okay.
Right. Right.
So where my plan is right now, my plan today was, oatmeal for breakfast, but I love oatmeal. Okay. I eat it every day.
I too.
Yeah. And I put peanut butter in it and I slice a banana in it. So good stuff. My lunch was taco soup that I made over the weekend, and my dinner was spaghetti. Okay.
It's wonderful.
Yeah. Yeah. I ate to my twos. I used my hunger scale and I'm good. I'm not a Kodiak pancake, 2-salad-a-day girl. I don't know if I ever will be, and that's okay. You're not, right now, you're not a Kodiak pancake and 2-salad-a-day girl.
No.
You're a pumpkin muffin, Chick-fil-A, and salmon girl. I'm not a salmon girl either. This is a plan that you have a chance of following and finding success at the end of the day with. Correct?
Yes.
Because the first thing you absolutely have to do is create something that you can commit to.
Okay.
Okay?
Okay. Yeah, I can do that.
Do you believe me?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
I'm nervous. I just need to do it and not continue just to procrastinate about it because I'm scared I won't follow it.
That the problem is you're creating plans that you think you should follow based on how many other old diets you've ever done. Oh, look, you know, I'm in a diet again. I should eat keto. Or, right. Oh, look, you know, I can never have a bagel again, so I better eat them all right now.
Right.
Right? But it doesn't work that way. Okay? You can plan a bagel every single day for the rest of your life if you want to. And knowing that is so freeing because you don't have to eat them all right now.
Right. And that's what I've been trying to do this past week is get everything in.
Yeah. You don't have to do that. The only thing we ask you to do is write down ahead of time what you know you're going to eat.
Okay.
Okay. And then as best you can, especially in these first few weeks, use your hunger scale.
Okay.
Have you gotten to, do you know the hunger scale? The minus two to plus two? Yeah.
I've gotten to it, but I've never used it yet.
Okay. The probably, even right now, as since you're so new at it, if you'll just wait till you're hungry to eat, start there. Okay.
Okay. Okay.
And eat what you have on your plan.
Plan.
And know that everything I put on my plan is okay to eat today. That's the big thing for you. I think you were, you're trying to apply too many diet rules.
Yeah.
Instead of meeting yourself where you are.
Okay.
I cannot believe Corinne would ever eat taco soup and spaghetti for dinner.
Probably
because
not.
That's not where she is.
Right.
Right. But that's where I am. And I'm okay with that. You're having Chick-fil-A tomorrow.
Right.
Yeah. That's where you are. And that's fine.
Okay.
Does that help?
It does. It helps a lot. And I really appreciate it and your time.
You're very welcome. Why are you crying?
It's emotional.
Why is it emotional?
Because I've just been working on it for so long, and I'm really very hopeful about this program, but I'm also very scared that I won't be able to follow through with it. And I'm kind of seeing already that I'm having issues following through with it. So that makes me even more like, I don't know if I'm going to be able to do it, but I think if I just can do one day tomorrow and just worry about that one day and put all the stuff, Chick-fil-A, everything on it, that I will be okay with that. I know at the end of the day, I'm still probably going to think like, I totally did not eat very well today, but I'll be able to say I stuck to my plan.
That's exactly what I want you to say. And I want you to say, I'm doing this exactly the way Kathy told me to.
Okay.
Because this is level one. You know, like if you're at entry level when you start, level one is realistic plan. You're not going to jump to level 13.
Right.
Okay. You're going to nail the realistic plan first. And that's by writing down exactly what you'll eat tomorrow.
Okay.
Because when you create that commitment to yourself and you start showing yourself that you can follow the plan, guess what? You start to have the confidence to think, maybe I can do this. Maybe this program is for me. Right?
Right.
So tomorrow night, when you go back through this plan, you're going to put this in your little planner, right?
Yep.
Tomorrow night, when you assess and you go back through and you check off the boxes, that's what I had. I want you to think about how success feels. Okay. And if one of these meals doesn't go the way you planned, what are you going to do tomorrow night?
Write it down.
And you're going to make a plan for the next day.
The next day. And it's okay. Yeah,
and it's okay because guess what? Nobody's perfect.
I know.
Shocking, right?
I know. And it does. I think that's part of it too. Is if it's not perfect, then it's, you know, all or nothing. And
the funny thing is, I just listened to a podcast today, and I'm getting in my phone because I was walking, and I thought I've got to write that down. Perfectionists aren't concerned about being perfect. They're concerned about being blamed. They're concerned about making mistakes.
Right.
Okay. What's wrong with making a mistake? Nothing.
Nothing. That's
nothing.
Right. In fact, the world's not going to end.
Right. It's the mistakes that I make, that I go back and correct, that I remember most, that I learn from the most.
Right.
Right.
Okay. So my mistake is not getting back up.
No, you got back up. That's what I told you at the beginning. Okay. You're on this call. You got back up.
Okay.
Right?
Right. Okay. So, I got it.
You got it.
I got it.
All right.
Thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
I really appreciate it.
Well, I'm excited for you. I think you're going to be fine.
Thank you.
All right. See ya.
Have a good night. Bye-bye.
You too. Bye-bye. All right. Debbie, are you back? Good. Let's get you back up here. Oh, there you are. Uh-oh, I think I did that. Sorry. There you are.
Okay, great. Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am. How you doing?
I'm doing well. How about yourself?
I'm good. What's up?
Okay, so I submitted a question to Ask Coaches last week.
Okay.
I was the one with the newly drug rehab stepson. The 21-year-old that's living in our home.
Okay.
And I kind of gave a background of the situation. He's been living with us for 4 months, been on drugs for the last 5 years. So I kind of give a background. I had a lot of thoughts swirling around. And the question that was posed to me was, Your husband and stepson can do and say whatever they want, just like we all can. Journal on this. How do you want to show up if nothing changes? So my original question was, how can I get my thoughts under control? Because I feel like I'm constantly obsessing about this situation. I feel like I'm constantly walking on eggshells because of, you know, the blowups that are happening here. You know, he's having a hard time even. I mean, I had to throw a fit to even get him out the door to get a job. So it's kind of like we're having to hold his hand. It's like a 10-year-old in junior high and he's 21 years old. So it's kind of like trying to be patient, trying to be compassionate and understanding. But on the flip side, in an instant, I can be like, I want to throw him out the door, you know. So it's just this push and pull of emotions all the time. And I find myself with a lot of swirling thoughts. Do I want to be in this situation? How long am I going to be able to tolerate this?
Those are not thoughts. Those are questions. So let me ask you, do you want to be in this situation? Yes or no?
I don't know.
See, I mean, all right, then how long are you going to stay in this situation?
Well, that's the question. How long am I going to tolerate this?
Right. How long are you going to tolerate it?
Another good question.
Yeah.
I don't think I'm at the point to where.
So you're not, you don't have a lot of thoughts. You have a lot of confusion.
Okay.
And the confusion is stemming from, this is not working out the way I want it to work out.
Right.
So I'm going to be real confused about it. Right. Because he's supposed to act a certain way. He's 21 years old and he's not acting right. That way. Right. So you have this list of expectations for him.
Right.
He's not meeting them. That's the rub.
So.
Right.
Right.
Mm-hmm. He's 21 years old. He shouldn't have been in rehab for gosh sakes. No, he should never have done that. And when he got back, he should just go get a job and he should go back to school and he should do all these things. But he's 21 years old. So guess what? He gets to decide what he's going to do.
Right.
Right? So somewhere there has to be a meeting of the minds.
Yeah, and we've had several roundtable discussions, and I've expressed my frustrations and what the expectations are. And I actually, this last time, I actually drew up an agreement with him and said, you are going to have, I don't care where you go to find a job, but you need to have a job within the next 2 weeks or you're out.
Okay.
And made him sign and date it.
Okay.
And he did go through and he did get his job and he is working, but now it's like he's being late to work. My husband is like calling him and texting him and setting alarms. And then he's texting my daughter who on her off days, you know, to get her up to make sure he's getting him up. And so that was what was swirling around last week. And we had a little small episode. So now my husband has quit setting the alarms and basically said, you're on your own. So it's gotten a little bit better, but it's like in my mind, it's like I'm constantly obsessing about this situation. It's like totally consuming me. And it's trying to get those thoughts under control and not feel so bad in the moment.
Okay, so let me ask you this. How do you think, or what, how, let's take that. I'm guessing Betsy answered that question because I don't remember this question. It kind of sounds like her answer. So we'll go with what she said. As the mom here, how do you want to show up? How do you think the mom needs to show up?
Okay, so I did journal on this a little bit. And the question I posed, how do I want to show up for me if nothing changes? And my first response was, I'm not sure. I know I need to work on my thoughts, but when is enough enough? So I go on to say, I want to be the person that isn't affected by things happening around her.
Okay.
I want to be the person that doesn't react. I want to continue to work on myself. I don't want to be thinking things that don't serve me. Let's see. I want to communicate all issues with ease. I do this because I respect myself and other boundaries. I am the person that will fight for her marriage. I'm not allowing my stepson to tear us apart.
Okay, so why can't you do these things? Why aren't you doing these things?
I guess it's in the moment. I'm journaling quite a bit about it. I've done several models on it. I guess it's in the moment redirecting those thoughts. And I guess it's just getting to a point where I'm comfortable and automatically doing it. But it's just the obsessive, where I'm constantly obsessing about it.
Are you obsessing about it or is it just on your mind?
I think it's obsessing. I mean, I'm thinking about it at work. I'm thinking about it, you know, at home. You know, all the conversations around the house is, you know, did he get up and go to work today? Is he there? It's just, you know, and I did express, you know, some concern about that we needed to get back to some type of normalcy in the household because I felt like the whole household was revolving.
There it is.
Around him.
The house isn't normal. This isn't normal.
Right.
That's the painful thought. What if this is normal? What is his name, the stepson?
Dante.
Dante. Okay. Dante lives with Debbie and her husband. Okay. I don't know your husband's name.
Mike.
Mike. Dante lives with Debbie and Mike. He's not acting normal. This isn't normal. This is fubar. Right? That's the painful thought. What if this is normal? What if this is new normal? What if this is the way, if Dante is going to live with Debbie and Mike while he gets his life back together, while he figures it out, while he does whatever Dante does, if he's living there, what if this is normal?
Yeah, that's the crossroads I'm at.
Yeah. So you get to decide, if this is normal, you get to decide what that crossroads is. Am I staying or am I going? Am I living with this or am I not living with this? Am I going to let Dante live his life or am I going to be in his business all the time? Am I going to let Mike handle him or am I going to handle him? Are we going to handle him together? All these are the questions that you need to answer in order to progress through life and in order to not be obsessed by Dante and what Dante's doing or not doing.
Yeah. And you know, I think
what you are right now is you're acting like all this is happening to you and around
right.
you.
Right.
Okay. And we call that victim mentality. Right. I don't really like the word victim, but I don't know of another word to use. When right. you are not owning what's going on around you and how you're showing up, when mm-hmm. all these things are happening to you and creating this mess for you, and you're obsessing because of all these things that are going on, you are not showing up the way you want to show up. You're not owning how you're reacting.
Right.
What you need to do is flip it all and say, you know what? I'm in control. I know 100% I'm in control of Debbie. And I am 100% in control of whether or not I obsess over Dante and his comings and goings. And I'm 100% in control of how I show up in my marriage. And today, this is what I'm deciding to do.
Okay.
Okay. Today, you can decide to ride Dante right on out the door, or to nag the heck out of him, or to leave him alone. You get to decide. But you need to know that whatever it is you're choosing is what you're choosing. It's not in reaction to someone. Right. It's not in reaction to, you know, him. It's not because he said something or didn't show up or slept in or whatever it is. Everything comes out of your mouth as a choice, just like everything you eat is a choice. Every reaction you have is Correct. A choice. So why not make it a reaction that you have thought through and controlled yourself and decided this is how I want to react?
Yeah. And the truth be told, sometimes it's not even Dante that I'm reacting to. It's my husband's reactions. It's how he's reacting to his son. And I see that and I get excited because I'm trying to protect him and I love him and I don't like to see him upset. Mm-hmm. So I'm reacting to his reaction.
Yeah.
Literally.
I'm telling you, there's such a difference between setting yourself up on a reactionary basis versus setting yourself up on an intentional basis. If you go through your day reacting to everything that happens around you, you feel out of control. If
Exactly.
you through your day, I'm doing this, then I'm doing this, and I'm showing up like this, and I've decided that very intentionally with a plan, you're much more in control. And it doesn't feel obsessive. You're obsessing because you're waiting for the other shoe to drop, because you're just reacting.
Yeah, I'm waiting for the bomb to go off somewhere.
Right. Well, that's a terrible way to live.
I know. Exactly. So
that's why Betsy said you need to decide how you're going to show up. Set that intention for who that person is tomorrow that's going to come home and, you know, I guess you work. I'm just assuming come home from work and handle the business of the house. And what are you going to do and how are you going to do it and in what order? And, you know, I'm going to be controlled about it.
Yeah.
I'm going to be
focused on me and how I want to show up.
Yeah. That's what all that means. Does that make sense? That help?
It does. It helps. Mm-hmm. It helps.
I love being intentional rather than reactive. In fact, do you have the new planner?
I do. I have the new planner. I got it in and was like, oh, I don't want to start in the middle of the month. I want to be fresh in my new planner.
Well, okay. Well, you can be fresh. If you're not going to use your planner, then you need to print out these journal pages. Okay.
Okay. Yeah, I do have the new journal pages. Okay.
Yes. This is what you need to fill out every morning with this home situation in mind. A thought I'm believing about me is I can show up intentionally today for my husband and my stepson.
Okay.
A powerful question I want to answer today is, how well did I handle today? Something like that. Your self-care. You know, I mean, it's just all, this journal page is a beautiful page to do first thing in the morning because it sets your intention for the day. This is what I'm going to think about. This is what I'm going to ask myself. This is how I'm going to take care of myself. It's my favorite page of the whole planner. I love it.
Yeah, I got it. I got it a week ago, and I was like, oh, I don't want to start in the middle of the month and waste pages. So I've been still recording everything.
Day one doesn't have to be the first day of the month.
I know it doesn't. I know it doesn't. But I wanted to start off all my monthly stats and monthly goals and all that stuff. So I'm still printing my stuff off and doing my plans and stuff like that from you know, copy paper and stuff like that. I'm playing plan 80 was today. So
as long as you're doing them. Make sure you do those journal pages. I think that's gonna help.
I am doing TDLs, I am doing my 24-hour plan each day. And I'm doing a habit tracker.
Good.
Of overeats, off plans, exercise, 2 to 2, all that, tracking all that. I've been doing that for about a month and a half now. So
cool.
Yeah, I feel pretty good with that piece of it. It's just in those moments when I feel like I'm really stressed out, I may feel so drained at the end of the day to when I do get an urge, it's like I have no steam left in me to sit through it. So, you know.
You have as much steam as you decide you have.
You're exactly right. You're exactly right.
You're being reactive again.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. I'll work on that.
Work on that. Think about that.
Okay.
Okay. Good luck.
All right. Thank you so much. I appreciate
it. See ya.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye. All right. Susan and Stephanie. Hello.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm good. Thank you. Thank you for talking to me.
Sure.
Okay. So I joined in September.
Mm-hmm.
Prior to that, I was a groupie for about a year and lost 25 pounds, which was great. And then I kind of stalled. And so I thought, all right, let's get this done and join. And I suspect I thought that in joining and I know towing the line is not the right word, but in participating fully, that it would be like bang, bang, bang.
Mm-hmm.
And it hasn't. And so now I'm in full throttle stage two and some combination of pouty and curious because during my groupie time, I really, you guys taught me amazing things about food prep, and I got that down. And I feel like when I go over my plan, and I, you know, in the plans, but now I'm doing the journal. And so for 2 weeks, I had one episode of eating off plan. And really think I'm doing 2 to 2. And there's just been like a whisper of results. And I think to myself, well, God damn it, if I'm doing that, then why is the magic not happening?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So that's one thing. And the second thing is I am panicked that what I think is a 2 is really a 4. And then I think, well, holy fuck, then that means every meal is 5 bites of food. And what is that even? What? That is a scary, scary.
How much more do I have to do?
Kind of. And I do have the propensity to be pouty and stamp my feet and be like, why is this not working for me? Mm-hmm. But I'm also like, wait, why is this not working for me? Because it is, I eat like an organic nun in training for the Olympics. It's like fucking insane. And I, thanks to you guys, I mean, I dialed it in. I didn't used to be like this at all. I just, it's been working, but.
Okay. You crack me up. You're just fun. So this is week 3. How much weight have you lost since you joined?
2 pounds.
2 pounds. In 3 weeks. All right. You know, I lost my weight about a pound a week, right? Took me about 18 months to lose 80 pounds. So what is that? 52 and 26, roughly 88 weeks. I'm doing that right, 80 pounds.
Yeah. Okay. So
and you've already lost 25.
Yes. Right?
All right. Yes. So, and you have only had one overeat.
I have a little mini brownie.
Okay. And you're planning every day?
Every day.
Okay. You're assessing every day?
Every day.
All right. So the only
And I have never had so many long stretches of hunger where I didn't shove food in my mouth.
You drinking your water and getting your sleep? Let's just cover all the basics.
Yes. Yeah, okay. Yeah. 60. Well, but then I wonder, so yes, I get the 64 ounces in. Mm-hmm. So a lot of this work I got sort of done mm-hmm. when I was grouping.
Yeah.
Yes, 64. But then I think, well, do I need more water than that? And then pretty much always 8 hours of sleep. But I do sometimes wonder, maybe I'm a 9 hour a week person. I mean, 9 hour a night. I don't know.
Okay. Let's not overthink it. It's one of two things.
That's a little bit of my problem.
Yeah. Yeah, I can tell. It's one of two things. Booze, beer, wine, anything like that?
No, I don't even. Well, I told you I'm an organic nut. I don't drink.
Okay. So it's one of two things.
Got it.
It's either the quality of your food or the quantity of your food or a combination of both. You may have hit on it when you said my plus two might actually be plus four.
It isn't.
This is actually what happens as you lose weight. You're probably eating the same amount of food as you were eating 27 pounds ago.
Oh.
Your body just doesn't need as much as it did 27 pounds ago.
But these aren't, I don't know why I'm arguing with you because the physics are here and clearly this is the issue. But I eat what seems like a modest portion. But I guess it's got to be even less.
It's possible that it needs to be less. Here's what I want you to do. I'm going to give you my favorite exercise of all time.
I want to be a magic snowflake and you say, Susan, you're the one person in the world that can't knock off those final pounds.
Oh, well, no, I'm not going to do that.
Okay.
I believe everybody can knock off their final pounds. I wish I had some fairy dust to sprinkle so that they would be gone and you wouldn't have to work for them, but I don't have that.
That's the only thing that keeps me going is that when I'm writing, I'm like, Corinne and Kathy believe I can do this. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to believe it too. So keep going. I'm sorry. Okay.
That's all right. Here's what you got to do for the next, I'm going to say 3 or 4 days, probably.
Okay? 4 days?
3 or 4 days, maybe longer. But this is my favorite thing to tell people to do. I want you to serve up your regular portions. Okay. Just a plate full of however you nothing more, nothing less than you usually serve it. I want you to eat half of it and wait for 10 minutes. And during that 10 minutes, I want you to journal about how your body is feeling. You know, your throat, your head, your stomach. I want you to do a full body scan and see where you would put yourself on the hunger scale. Okay.
What's the, okay.
Why are you laughing? If you decide you are not yet at plus two and you're telling yourself the truth, eat half again as much and do that again. Wait 10 minutes and journal and see where you are on the hunger scale.
I think we know what the answer is going to be.
Yeah. So this is
portions.
This is a super really good exercise because here's what happens physiologically. Okay, let's do science lesson, right? How long does it take when you swallow for your food to hit your stomach? 3 or 4 minutes probably, because your esophagus and everything is doing all that clenchy thing to bring it all the way down to your stomach. Then your stomach has to send a message to your brain to say, oh wait, I think we've had enough. So if you're shoveling the food in,
oh, I shovel. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. If you're shoveling the food in and you think you've hit plus two and then 30 minutes later, you're like unbuttoning your pants. That's why. Because your brain has just caught up with everything you swallowed past plus two.
And that I mean, I don't know how many bites we're talking, but if I have a 2 cups of soup and I only have a cup of soup, right? Uh-huh. I guess I'm somewhat skeptical because it doesn't seem so sweeping and dramatic. I guess my brain is having a fit to make it sound like that's not going to be enough, or I can't get around, or I haven't let myself get around the fact that I feel like something of a martyr for having, you know, come this far, mm-hmm. that I just want all the prizes. That's what I want.
No, you want your prize to be, I can eat as much as I want and still lose weight.
Except that it's not all that I want. It's like, it seems to me to be extremely reasonable quantities. Mm-hmm. But well,
probably was 27 pounds ago.
Yeah. Okay.
That's why you're losing the weight. Now your body is smaller and it doesn't need as much to keep itself going.
Got it. All right. I'm down for it. All right. So after three or four days, I say to myself, I mean, this is working. This is not working.
I think after 3 or 4 days, you're going to know if your portion sizes are too big. You're going to know if you've been eating past your plus two.
Right. All right.
I think you'll just have that realization. And after that, you'll just adjust and you'll start thinking, I think I'm at my plus two now. Damn it.
Yeah.
Now I know where plus two is and I have to decide, well, am I going to keep eating or am I just going to push it away? That's when your decision point comes in.
All right. All right.
Makes sense?
It does. It makes a lot of sense. I appreciate your time.
You're very welcome.
All right. Good night.
Night. All right. Stephanie, then Jerry, then Kat, then Sharon. All right, Stephanie, I can hear you back there. Let's see if we can get your video started. There you are. Hi, it's you. How are you?
I've been so long.
I know. I've been watching you disappear, though.
Yeah.
I am losing that weight.
I am. I'm really excited. I've really been working, and I came across something this weekend. And when I brought it up to one of my Marco Polo groups, they suggested I get on, and I know better, but I was waiting for a day that you were on. So,
oh, thanks. And yeah. Are you coming to camp?
Not this October, but I did register for next one.
Yay. Okay.
So I'm really excited about that.
Cool.
Yes. So this is where I sort of had something happen this weekend. Okay. I've been faithful with my plans. I've been faithful assessing, doing all the things. But I noticed when I went to do a recovery worksheet that when I do it all on GoodNotes on my iPad, mm-hmm. and I write the same things. I know it's boredom. And when Mike isn't home, mm-hmm. those are the times I tend to go off plan. And I think it's because I'm sort of that closet eater. And when he's not home, he doesn't see me. But what I noticed when I opened it up is it's like every 7 to 8 days that I have to do a recovery worksheet. And that just sort of surprised me because I date them whenever I do them. Uh-huh. And, you know, when you open it up in GoodNotes, they're all just laying there.
Yeah.
And it sort of surprised me that it was almost to a T every 7, 8 to 9 days, it seemed, I was doing a recovery worksheet. So I wanted maybe some help or some guidance or some insight as to why I might be doing that. Like, I never thought that I would be doing recovery sheets on a schedule.
<You know>? Well, that's really interesting. If you had to guess, why do you think every 8 or 9 days you're doing a recovery worksheet?
I do so, so well. Like when I'm on, I am on. Mm-hmm. And I just wonder if it is that I just feel I need that reprieve or that break, which it's really not a break because then I, you know, beat myself up for it. I'm better at that. I don't beat myself up for it anymore, but it could be that. The other thing, I now just saying this, we have that property and Mike usually goes every 2 weeks to the property to, you know, take care of it or mow it. And he's not here. Mm-hmm. And now that I'm thinking that might be it too, is that there's no one here.
So why do you eat when you're alone?
No one sees me. I have all the stuff. And I mean,
is that true that no one sees you?
I do. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's not even like horrible things. It's just things that were totally not on my plan. And I usually, you know, can stay. But I mean, one of my cheats was Brussels sprouts, for goodness sakes. And, you know what? I know. I should have said beets just for you.
I know. Well, I've only had a couple of Brussels sprouts I really ever liked too. But I'll eat them. I will not entertain beets at all.
No, I know. But Saturday was completely, it's not, I haven't done that kind of a thing in a long time. I ate all the things that I shouldn't have. But I guess I was just more towards the 8 or 9 days, which maybe like just sitting here talking to you, it might be more that through the summer and everything, Mike is gone. Mm-hmm. But that's usually every 14. That's on a weekend. It's not always happening on a weekend.
But he's gone when it happens.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. So I've like this weekend, to be honest, I even saw the food going in my mouth and I thought I should be TDLing and I didn't. And I should be counting to 90 and I didn't. So I know what I need to do. Mm-hmm. So I guess I need your fairy dust sprinkled.
Fresh out.
Fresh out. Okay.
Here's the thing. I used to do the same thing. Ken would leave the house and I'd be like, I could hit the pantry. He'll never know. I did this as a kid. I didn't even know I was doing it. And I didn't realize it was a thing until I actually started coaching with P&P and realized that that's what I was doing. You know, I would take a little of this, a little of this, a little of this, a little of that. My mother would never know. You know, all the way down to, I mean, this is gross, but I would eat butter. You know, I would eat whatever, you know, I thought I could get a little bit of.
Okay.
And so, you know, grew up, got married, saw myself doing it, you know, with Ken when he would leave. And then I finally decided, you know, I was like, what? That's really odd. Why do I do that? And I don't know if I ever really decided there was a reason. I just decided that part of my protocol now is not to eat when I'm by myself, unless it's planned food. Okay. So my protocol says only planned food when I'm by myself. If I'm going to have something else, I text Ken.
Oh,
he doesn't care. Mm-hmm. It's my brain that cares, where I'll just say, I'm going to go ahead and have dinner, or, oh, a snack's, it looks good. You know, I'm allowed to eat if I tell someone. That takes the mystery out of it. Okay.
Okay.
So Mike goes to the property. You've got a whole passel full of things out that you're ready to eat. Are you going to eat it if you text him and say, hey, Mike, I'm fixing to eat cookies and brownies and some Brussels sprouts and some other things? You're not.
I don't want to text him. Yeah.
Right. Well, you don't mind texting him. You just don't want to tell him what you're going to eat.
Oh, exactly. Right. Okay.
And the reason is because you're afraid he's going to judge you. And that reason, you're thinking that is because you're judging yourself.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's how that comes back full circle. So what I want you to do is next time he's going to leave, I want you to plan everything you're going to eat. I want you to call it like, have you seen Corinne's coaching on the planned overeats and the planned binges?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. That's what I want you to do. So when is he going to be gone again? When is the next opportunity to do this?
Well, actually the next time he goes there, I'm going there with him.
Okay.
So, I mean, it would probably be, I mean, unless there's an evening he goes out with the guys or something like that, mm-hmm. that pops up, that might mm-hmm. be the next time then.
Okay. will it pop up like that day, or will it pop up in time for you to plan?
It definitely time to plan. He usually will tell me, hey, on Wednesday or whatever, I'm going out. So yeah, we always know ahead of time.
So I want you to treat it like a planned overeat. When he goes out, I want you to go ahead and I want you to have on your plan, this is what I'm going to eat when Mike is gone.
Okay.
What that does is it takes it out of that, the reactionary part of your brain is going, wah, ha, ha, he's gone, we can eat, right? It's taking it out of that part of the brain, and it's putting it into the decision-making part of the brain.
Okay.
The logical part in the front. And you're going to take a look at that list and know that that's okay to eat, and then decide whether or not you want to eat it.
Okay.
It could be a huge game changer. Seriously.
It could be, yeah.
I mean, because then you might look at that list and go, thank goodness I can stay on plan today because I'm going to eat all the things. Or you might look at it and say, I don't really want that stuff.
Okay.
But you know you can only eat what's on the list.
Okay.
You can have it. You can have it in secret all by yourself, but you only eat what's on the list.
All right. Okay. I'll try that. That'll help. All right.
The other thing that might be happening is you might be white knuckling through 8 or 9 days. And the minute he leaves the house, the minute your resistance is down, you're no longer white knuckling. You're just eating.
Okay.
Okay. And what that means is you're fighting for 8 or 9 days, and then the fight's out. You're tired.
Okay.
But I suspect it's more I want you to do the planned overeat. I want you to, to do it that way. Do you need a link, you know what? I think I can do this. Have you seen the coaching call that she did on this?
Yeah, with the girl that actually, yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. It's in, for anybody who wants to look for it, it's in her Best of Rants. And I think it even says planned, I think the title of it is Planned Overeat.
Mm-hmm.
Go to the website to video replays. I think it's called Planned Overeat. It's good stuff.
It was good. Yes. I remember watching it and really learning a lot. So, okay. I can try that.
All right.
All right.
Good?
Yes. Thank you.
Okay. We'll see you.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Let's see. All right, Jerry, then Kat, then Sharon. Are you there?
I think so.
Let's see if we can. There you are.
Oh,
hello.
Hi.
How are you?
I think I'm good, and I'm really glad to talk to you. I hear you going to work, coming home from work. You're like my constant companion this last couple of days.
Oh, well, thank you. That's so nice of you.
I think it's almost like I feel like I know you.
Well, I'm pretty open.
Yeah.
Maybe not as open as Corinne, but I'm pretty open.
Well, you know, it's like having, you know, friends when I work and then I have kids and, you know, so coming and going, it's like having a car full of women going to work. So it's kind of cool.
For sure.
I was doing really good journaling and watching my 2 and 2. I think I was getting a little too hungry because when I put my mind to something, you know, pain doesn't bother me. I can work through it. But for some reason, I think the neighbor passed away. We've lived here for 20 something years, and the husband passed away and the neighbor passed away. And Sunday I walked out on the porch and everything just went to heck in a handbasket. I was doing good. I made my plan. I drank my water. Trying to, you know, put 6,000 steps on the Fitbit and, you know, clicking along. And then, I don't know. I don't know what I did. And I think my husband.
So tell me exactly what happened or what stopped happening. You walked out on the porch and everything went to hell in a handbasket. I don't understand what that means. Okay. Tell me more.
Well, I walked out on the porch Sunday. I'm up early every morning. I'm up 4, 5, 6 is late for me. 7 is really late. Mm-hmm. And everybody was asleep. And I looked across at her house and um, I guess I kind of shoved it all down. And so I had a little cry, and then I got back and I started, I started with just, you know, kind of like picking at some peanuts at the restaurant, and then Monday, and then today I just fell off the wagon and went and had ice cream. Okay. I don't know if I fell off the wagon, but.
All right. So what happened was you actually felt the sadness for a minute of losing your friend.
Yeah.
And you didn't want to feel the sadness, so you ate.
Yeah.
Right? This is super common. Okay. Whenever a lot of times people will buffer, it's called buffering. They'll avoid feeling something that's very powerful by eating. They'll distract themselves from actually feeling sadness in your case by doing something else, by eating or by watching TV or shopping or something, just so they don't have to feel that feeling that they're avoiding.
Okay. Right.
So when did you join? Are you September baby?
Yeah, I'm a September baby.
Okay.
I
want to make sure I'm explaining this concept because you actually haven't gotten to this work in No BS yet.
Right. I've been working the modules.
Yeah. But that's essentially what happened. You felt a wave of emotion come over you that you didn't know what to do with, right? You didn't want to cry. Yeah. You didn't want to break down. You just resisted that emotion. You fought against it.
Right.
And the easiest way to distract yourself from the emotion was by eating, you know, whether it was the nuts or the ice cream or the whatever came after that. So if you consume yourself and you narrow your focus in on, you know, let me eat something, you don't have to think about losing your friend or making a plan, or, you know, you said everything went to heck in a handbasket. That's because you just set everything aside so that you didn't have to feel. Okay. Does that make sense? Does that sound like?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. My husband has a health issue, and, you know, it could go real slow or it could go real fast. And, I work. And so he went to the funeral, and we have daughters that moved back in. And that the first coaching call with Teresa was awesome because it spoke to me a lot. Mm-hmm. And so I think that, you know, and I work in the medical field. So I see families, you know, I know more than I wish I knew. And so I'm always trying to control things. You can't control things. You can only control you.
Mm-hmm.
So,
you have a husband with a health issue.
Yeah.
You have a friend who just passed away. You have a job that, you know, you have to deal with stressors and emotions. You have kids at home.
Yeah.
Right?
Adult kids
at home. Easiest way to check out is to eat.
Yes. Right? And I've been doing it for years.
Right. You see your pattern now.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
What you're doing is avoiding feeling. You're avoiding worry about your husband. You're avoiding, you know, feeling the sadness about your neighbor. You're avoiding, I don't know what feeling about aggravation, maybe. I don't know about the adult kids being back at home. You went, adult kids.
Yeah.
What if you just felt the feelings? What if you just allowed yourself to be sad and a little worried and a little aggravated?
Yeah.
You know, that's
and not eat through it.
Because what happens is the feelings don't stay. That a feeling will come over you like it did on the porch, mm-hmm. and it'll wash through you, and you'll cry, and then you'll stop crying. Right? How many times have you ever started crying that you didn't stop?
Never.
Right?
Yeah. Right.
If you think about it, that's what a feeling does, whether it's aggravation or concern or overwhelm or sadness. It comes on and it feels like it's hard to tolerate, and then it eases back out. It's like you start crying and you cry really hard, And then you're not crying as hard and you're sniffling a little bit and then you stopped crying. That's how that feeling washes through you. If you'll allow yourself to feel those feelings, you won't need to cover them up. And you'll show yourself that you're a strong enough woman to feel the feelings. The more you feel them, the easier it is to feel them. You're not afraid of them anymore.
That's yes.
It really makes sense, doesn't it?
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
And I can do that. And the journaling, I didn't realize that was so hard. I mean, it's not hard writing it down, but it's painful.
That's because you're trying not to feel. That goes back to feeling again. If you were to go find a quiet space when you're finished with this call and write everything you loved about that neighbor, it would feel hard. Because you would be crying through it and you would feel the grief and the sadness. But you know what? When you were finished feeling that grief and sadness at the end of that, you'd be left with how much you cared about her and how much you miss her and how much you loved her. That's how that works. You feel the intensity of the feeling and it flows through and then you're left with, I'm okay. You know, I'm really okay. I cried. I'm sad. I miss her, but I'm okay. I'm still here. I don't need to eat. And by the way, I cried because I loved her.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
You wouldn't feel so sad about missing her if you didn't love her. And that's the beautiful part of that. And it really, really is because that's what you're left with. You know, I talk about this all the time. If you've listened to the podcast, you said you'd feel like you know
me.
I lost my dad 3 years ago.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I've reached a point now, I cry about him every now and then. It's not every day anymore because I was really close to him. But I feel the love every single day because I allowed myself to feel that sadness for so long. And I allow myself to feel it when it's time to feel it. But because I allowed that and I didn't suppress it, I feel the love now. Because if you suppress all emotion, you're not going to feel either one of them. If you
suppress
your emotions, you're not going to feel either one.
Yeah. Plus, I tend to avoid things. You know, I throw myself into my work and avoid people. And so you realize the wedding when they were there and you stayed busy working so you don't, you know, and then you just realize when people are gone, you wish you had more relationship with them.
Well, that's called regret, right?
Yeah.
Regret.
And you were talking about that in my car today.
Yeah. There's not a whole lot you can do with regret. Regret's not going to make you feel any better.
No.
You can't change the past, but what you can do is feel the love for them today.
Yeah.
Right? You can allow yourself that gift is the memories that you have of them and the love you have of them today.
The other thing I was going to ask you is I've been having this habit and I think I caught myself today. You know, I saw early on months ago, Corinne said she drank this coffee. So I bought the ingredients and I made this coffee and I've been drinking it every morning. But when I get up, I don't ask myself if I'm hungry because I'm usually not hungry.
Oh, no, I don't. I drink coffee before I'm hungry. Coffee comes first before everything.
Yes.
Now, I do wait for my, if you're drinking that bulletproof coffee, you know, with the oil in it, you need to wait for breakfast. You need to wait till you're hungry for breakfast because that will, adding that oil to the coffee will postpone your need for breakfast, will likely postpone your need for breakfast.
For some reason, it really does help my mind. I'm ready to go in the morning.
Are you using the Bulletproof, the Brain Octane?
I bought the, it's something with a mousse on the front. It's in a bag.
Like the cacao butter, I guess.
Yeah. I bought that.
That's fine too. The, there's something about those clean oils that your brain really likes. Your brain has, something that just fires it up. Yeah.
Yes. And I'm ready to go and I'm thinking it's great. It's been like the greatest thing. So I'm wondering, do I stay with that or should I try the other that you were talking about?
Oh, no. If you like what you're using, just use it. That's good.
I'm hooked on Splenda. and eventually I will work my way off of it, but I really like it. So, mm-hmm. Okay. Well, I really appreciate you very much. And I listen to you all the time. And, you know, I get up, I have Bible study in the morning for myself. And so that helps me a lot. And it always just when Corinne is saying the biggest cuss words, which speaks to me too, because I do cuss. I mean, God is good, but, I'll be reading that. And then what you guys are teaching on, it's like, it's just right there every morning. It's really good. And then I listen to you coming to work. So it's great. Thank you so much for your time, and I will see you again.
All right. You come on back.
Thank you.
All right. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Kat, then Sharon. Are you there?
I'm here.
All right. Let's see if that starts your video. There you are.
Does that work?
Yes, ma'am. How you doing?
I'm a fangirl. I've been listening to this for over a year on the podcast. Oh, wow.
That just blows my mind. Can I just say, I never thought anybody would fangirl me. That just blows my mind. But
oh, my doggies here. You said they're getting up in my lap. I guess some of my stuff is similar to Jerry. Is that who you just spoke to?
Mm-hmm.
So my mom passed away at the end of July.
Okay.
And I've just got so much going on right now that I don't even know where to start.
Okay.
I'm doing really good with my food. I've got that pretty dialed in, and I'm not really having a lot of overeats, but I guess I feel like I've got a lot of emotional stuff going on with my mom passing and dealing with my dad. And I feel like I've got so much stuff going on that I don't have time to work through the emotions. I've got my grandson that I helped raise, and like I said, my dad, who's like 3 hours away, but I try to go over there as often as I can, and I work full time, and I feel like the emotions hit me in inconvenient times, I guess.
Well, sure they do. Feelings don't run on a schedule.
Right.
Right? Actually, feelings are created by a thought. You know that, right? You have a thought in your head. You know, my mom's gone. Sad.
Yeah.
I have so much to do. Overwhelmed. I've got all these things. I don't have time. Confusion. You know, whatever it is, thought, feeling, they go together. You have a thought, creates a feeling. Okay. I need to fix this right now. Urgent. You see what I'm saying? See how that works? So feelings don't come across at don't come around at convenient times. They come around when you have a thought. Okay.
Yeah. I was at the doctor's office today, and when the nurse was like doing my vitals and everything, she asked me if I had been, you know, it's just a routine question. Have you been dealing with any depression? And, you know, I had like a little breakdown in the doctor's office.
So the nurse asked you, have you been dealing with depression? What was the first thing that popped into your head when she said that?
Yeah, I have.
Yeah, I have. I lost my mom. I have all these things to do, right? Thought created sadness, breakdown. See? That's how that works. That's your super simple introduction to the Fat Girl Thinking module, which is next week.
I actually went ahead and I've been listening to that.
Yeah.
And it's wonderful.
And it's normal. It's how everybody works. Okay. And I'm not telling you or anybody on this call that you have to control your thoughts so you can't feel. Okay. I'm just telling you that's how our brains work and how our bodies work and how we react. Totally normal. And just knowing that kind of helps knowing that when I feel something, it's because of a thought that I'm thinking. So if I'm angry, let's say I'm really angry at Corinne or my husband. I'll say my husband. I'm really mad at my husband. It's because I have a thought that made me angry. And my thought is he shouldn't act that way, or he should be nicer to me, or he should buy me diamonds or something, right? Angry. He didn't buy me diamonds. Angry.
Yeah.
Right? So you had a thought in the doctor's office when she asked you if you've been dealing with depression. Yes. Here's the reasons. Sadness. Okay?
Yeah.
So back to, I don't know where to start.
Yeah.
Tell me what that means. You just told me that you've been listening to the No BS. You've been doing your plans, right? You got your food, not having a lot of overeats. What do you not know how to start?
Working on the mind stuff. I haven't done a TDL. I guess I'm not that far in the course yet. And it's like I've got sadness around my mom. I've got stress with my dad.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm feeling overwhelmed and not sure what the best step is for me to take to start moving through all of it.
Okay. So overwhelmed is a feeling. Okay. And yours is your thought that's creating that is, I have so much to do. I don't know where to start. Okay. Do you know how to, I'm going to ask this, but I know the answer is no. Do you know how to take care of overwhelm? It's super easy. You do one thing. You take one step forward. Overwhelm will not exist if you're doing something. Okay. So let's make a list of everything you think you need to be doing that has you so overwhelmed. Okay, let's make a list. TDLs. TDLs is one, right? What else?
I've been helping my dad to go through things of my mom's to donate and get rid of and all that. And that's another thing that's causing some stress because when I go through things, then he goes back and questions, what I've done. And, what he's throwing away, he went through the trash. And so I feel like maybe I should just take some time and not do that right now. I think it's maybe too quick, too fast.
Why don't you just ask him, are you ready to do this? That's easy. We cleaned out all my mother's stuff the week she died. My dad was that ready. And I was like, what?
Yeah.
But I let him drive that ship. So you.
Yeah. Well, he asked me to, and then he still is going back and, questioning.
That's how he's dealing with all this. That's not a reflection of you. He's just still trying to figure all this out. So what has you overwhelmed? Helping dad. What else?
I have my grandson every morning and every afternoon.
Okay. Babysitting.
And then, my husband travels a lot, so when he's home, I want to spend time with him.
Husband. Okay.
And I work full time.
Work.
And I try to fit in exercise. I haven't been as good about that lately.
Okay.
And then I feel like I need to try to spend time with my girlfriends because that makes me feel better.
Okay. That's self-care.
Yeah. And then I feel like I need to try to take time alone to work through all this baggage.
Okay. So I have TDLs, helping dad, babysitting, husband, work, exercise, girlfriends, and alone time. How many of those things did you hit today?
I texted some girlfriends. Talked to my husband on the phone. I babysat my grandson.
Mm-hmm. Did you go to work?
I went to work.
Okay.
I did not exercise.
Did you talk to your dad or help him or anything?
I haven't talked to my dad today.
Talked to your dad, and you didn't do a TDL, right? So you got half. You hit half the list. That's probably about right for each day, yes. Right?
Well, and one thing, I worry that I'm very, and you know, different people work through grief differently, and I feel like I'm one of those people that's an action person, and I worry that if I'm staying so busy, am I not allowing myself the time to work through it?
Are you crying over your mom periodically? Are you thinking about her? Yeah.
Yeah.
So I don't think I would worry that I wasn't handling it right. I think I would just allow myself to feel it. Just allow yourself to handle it. Allow yourself to be sad about it. Your grief is supposed to be sad. It's part of it. It's part of losing someone. So just feeling, just like I was telling Jerry, just feeling those feelings, you know that you're doing it right if you're allowing yourself to feel. Okay?
Okay.
It feels, the grief itself can feel overwhelming, right? Because, and the reason it feels overwhelming is because you push against it, because you don't want to feel it.
Yeah.
Because you resist.
And I feel like I can't break down in front of anybody.
What would happen if you did? What would happen if you started crying in front of me, for instance? What would happen?
I think I worry about other people's feelings.
So if you were to cry really hard right now for losing your mom, you would worry about my feelings? Or would you worry about whether or not I'm judging your feelings?
I feel like I don't want to make other people feel bad or feel sorry for me.
Can you make me feel bad? No. Anyone who has lost someone close to them can identify with what you're feeling. Right? I would never say I know what you're feeling because your grief is different from mine, but I have felt grief before. And I'd say most everybody on this call has felt grief before in one shape, form, or fashion. And I'm not uncomfortable because I can allow you the space and the time to be sad. So don't worry about other people. You know, that's part of you resisting the feeling is worrying about what other people are going to think about it.
Yeah.
Okay. You have to feel the feeling to resolve it. You have to feel the feeling to know that it's okay to feel the feeling. So I don't think any of these things are what's overwhelming you. I think you probably handle all of this stuff because you rattled it off like it was your business. I think what you are overwhelmed by is trying to figure out what to do with this grief.
Yeah.
Okay. Here's what I would do. Here's your homework. I want you to pick a half an hour every day to immerse yourself in your memories and your grief about your mom. Half an hour every day. Okay?
Okay.
You pick the time and you honor the time. And when that half hour comes up, nothing else gets in the way. Let's say it's 8 o'clock to 8:30 every night. Grandson's gone by then, right?
Yeah.
Okay. He's gone. Did you say your husband's traveling? Does he travel a lot?
Yeah.
So you're home by yourself?
Yeah.
All right. Perfect. Every night you feel that feeling. You just cry as hard as you can cry. You let it, just like I was explaining to Jerry. Was it Jerry?
Yeah, Jerry.
About how it comes on, how you start crying and then you stop, right? You sob really, really hard and then you stop. You just allow yourself to feel all that. And then when the half hour's over, you'll be finished. You will have finished crying by then, most likely, right?
Yeah.
And then you just say, okay, now it's time to feel the love. Now it's time to remember how much I love her and will love her until, you know, the day I die. Because that's the way I am about my dad. And my mom's been gone for a long time. She's been gone since 1992. But I love her every day. Does that help?
Yes.
You really have to allow, if you are really, really to allow yourself to grieve, I don't think any of the rest of this would be in your way. I don't think any of the rest of this would be overwhelming to you.
Yeah.
You have to be okay with feeling the sadness. You have to be okay with your dad being sad too.
Yeah.
If you're a little aggravated with him because he's going through the trash when he's probably just as overwhelmed as you are and doesn't know what else to do.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I hope that helps. I'd be interested to know if your half hour helps you. If your half hour a day, if that helps you.
I'll try.
Okay.
Okay.
That way that gives you permission to just let her rip, to just let the grief rip. Cause I get the feeling that you just hold it close to you. You hold it,
yeah.
you resist it. I want you to take that time to just let it rip and to feel it all and to know that you're going to be okay when that half hour is over and to know that that's exactly what you should be doing. Okay.
Okay.
I want you, and if you can't come back to office hours next week and tell me and come back and tell me how it's going, I want you to get and ask coaches and say, this is for Kathy.
Okay.
I want to tell her that did not work at all or absolutely that was exactly what I needed. Okay.
Okay.
All right. I'll be watching for you.
Thanks.
All right. Take care.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right, Sharon, your turn. And then Valley Girl.
Oh, okay.
Hi.
Okay. I see myself a little on the corner. Okay, I had a couple of things I wanted to talk about.
Okay.
One is, you know, I know we're working on the future self this week,
mm-hmm.
and I think that's, I joined in April, but I think my stall, because I've kind of vacillated with 10 pounds, is that I really didn't see a future self. Like, I was very concerned about being under 240, like somehow that's a magic number to get down to 239.5 or something.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was wondering, you know, would it be, you know, good or, you know, okay to do... imagine myself like every 10 pounds. Like
absolutely.
Okay. So you don't have to do just a goal weight. You can do.
Oh, no.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause I like this morning when I weighed, I got on the scale and I imagined myself being 10 pounds lighter and I actually felt good. You know, it actually gave me a little surge of happiness to think of that happening. So I can see where using that for the future self would be good for me.
Yeah. So 10 pounds from now. Let's say 10 pounds, about, I don't know, 6 or 8 weeks, probably.
Mm-hmm.
Right. 8 weeks, 8 or 10 weeks, whatever. I don't know how fast you're losing weight. You think about that person who's, you know, 8 or 10 weeks ahead from now. What does she look like? What is she wearing? How much is she eating? Mm-hmm. You know, you just picture her in your mind. How much thinner is she 10 pounds down? 10 pounds is about a size, right? 10 or 12
right.
pounds, about a size. So she's a size down. What is she wearing? And then what would she tell you today? So this Sharon, 10 pounds from now, would tell you what? Watch the overeating. Make sure you're planning every day. Oh, we don't like asparagus or beets or, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. She would, what tips would she give you to reach her?
Interesting. Yeah, that sounds good. You have a dialogue with her. Yeah. Oh gosh, my phone is at 10%, so I'm going to rush.
Okay.
I have another thing like similar to someone earlier's
call.
My boyfriend's son has some mental health challenges, and I mm-hmm. really feel like my boyfriend enables him to just kind of wallow in those challenges.
Mm-hmm.
And just actually listening to you today, I thought, you know, I realize I don't want to be part of that enabling. Because he wants him to come to my house nearly every weekend. It's like, well, I didn't set up to date you and your son, you know what I mean? And so, I wonder, would it be appropriate to say, you know, I feel like if we bring him here every weekend, we enable him to just kind of isolate himself, which is one of his traits, that he doesn't try to make friends. Should I say to him, I don't want to be part of the enabling, or is that just not necessary? Just don't do it.
No, I don't know what your relationship with him is like. So I can't, okay. That's difficult for me to answer. What I can tell you is you can decide not to be part of the enabling part of it for you. You can't decide that for the boyfriend. Boyfriend True. Gets to decide. Okay.
Right. Right.
So just make sure you understand that. You can either accept the situation how it is, or you can say, you know what? I don't like this. You can set your boundary and say, you know, it's this or that, but just be ready to enforce it.
Okay. All right. Okay? Thank you.
That makes sense?
Yes. And then one thing too, okay. I was working like self-care. I've started putting on there, make a plan and assess my plan, or is that being too lame? Do you know what I mean?
Because I feel like, if you think that's self-care and it keeps you on track, it's fine with me.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you.
My self-care some days is to make sure I'm getting my water in, because that's how I care for my body that day.
True. That makes sense. I liked also the last call where you told her to set a time for grieve and then feel the love. Like I had a traumatic loss recently and I think I'll try that. But
yeah, give that a shot. You have to feel the sadness and the grief move through you in order to feel the love at the backside. It almost makes room for it when you allow it to run its full cycle. It makes room for the love on the backside.
Thank you. Thank you. Anyway, my phone's about to go dead. So
okay.
I thank you so much.
All right. See ya.
Bye.
All right. Roz, Teresa, and Michelle. That's probably all I'll be able to get through. So you guys stay tuned. Here comes Roz. Oops.
Hello. Are you there?
Oh, wait.
I got it. There's
there you are. Hi, Roz.
Hi, Kathy.
How you doing?
I'm doing good.
What's up with you today?
I've got three questions and I even wrote them down.
Okay.
Legal pad. let me start with, these are mostly process oriented questions. Okay. Now they may go elsewhere, because I know talking to you leads to really good questions from you. But,
okay.
Okay. So using the planner, the habit tracker, what I have done is, if I'm 80% or better on my plan for the day, I color in half the circle. I have to be 100% to color in the whole thing. So am I making the, you know, bending the process too much? Am I not doing it right? Is it 100%? Is it all or nothing?
I actually think that's intriguing. I thought of it initially as all or nothing, on plan or off plan. But if you like to see how often you are sometimes on, sometimes off through the day, I think it's fine if that's the data that you want to collect. I think it's very individual. Okay. When I do it, I'm either on plan or off. I say, and I make myself tell myself I'm off plan today. I mean, I have that clear definition in my mind. If it's helpful to you to know when you're wishy-washy, then, you know, you can track it that way if you want to.
I think it's meeting myself kind of where I'm at to get some data to then level it up to where you are, which is it's on or it's not.
Okay. Okay.
Because some of the off plans are, I ate one miniature Reese's peanut butter cup and I was on plan the rest of the day. Mm-hmm. Do I trash it for that one thing or not? Because,
well,
I'm
technically,
to get the data. Technically, yes,
it's off plan.
It's off plan.
But I wouldn't say I trashed it. Would say,
and that's kind of why I kind of, you know, I'll do the recovery worksheet. I noted on my 24-hour plan, but in the habit tracker, I'm trying to get a better sense of how closely,
okay,
as opposed to yes or no.
Yep. If that is now usable data for you, then I think it's fine.
Okay. Now, the other two questions come out of, I think it's module 2.
Okay.
The protocol and the good, better, best worksheet.
Okay.
Starting with the protocol. Last year when I went through No BS, all sorts of mental whining basically.
Drama.
That's just writing it, not anything, you know. And I find that just, okay, we're just going to write it very broadly, and we're going to see where we get. So now, you know, I've been in the tribe a year. I have lost 40 pounds with the tribe. You know, so
cool.
Am I perfect? No. Do I have recovery worksheets? Yes. You know, are there other, you know, there are certainly lots of things I can improve on. The protocol tended to be something, I did it because it was part of No BS, and then I never really looked back, and I made it very broad. And when I started it again, I kind of wanted to do the same thing, although I recognize more of the mental chatter, and, you know, it's in terms of, okay, these foods I just don't eat, I'm not ready to go there, is really where I came up after kind of and looking through and whatnot. Okay. I'm going to list it all. So what I did is I listed the foods that these are my normal things. These are my exception things. And then I listed for me on my protocol some minimum baseline things.
Okay.
That are minimum baselines for me. Where I tend to dial better into making things good, better, making better choices is my 24-hour plan. Rather than trying to make a protocol that says, okay, I'm no longer eating this. Because when I tried to make the exclusions, I put things like beets because I don't like them either.
Beets are gross. Let's just say it. Beets are gross.
You know, but I mean, I also think liver is gross too. I won't eat it. You know.
So that's not on your protocol.
So it's not on my protocol, but it didn't make any sense. I wouldn't be tempted to eat it anyway.
Right. Right.
So that's why I did that. And I, you know, again, it's kind of a reality check. Am I bending the process?
I don't think so. My protocol says things like all proteins are fine. All carbs that come out of the ground are fine, like potatoes and rice and sweet potatoes and things like that. You know, all
right.
What do they call them? Simple carbs.
Yeah.
All fruits are fine. You know, so mine is pretty broad too. Where I draw the line is if there is anything that needs to be planned as an exception. So like for me, French fries, chicken, I love chicken tenders, but they're not on my regular protocol. They're on my exception list. Of course, any kind of dessert, things like that. Things that I know I shouldn't eat every day to maintain my weight. Okay, so... And then the other things I have on my protocol are what you call the minimum baselines. I call them just constraints that I give myself. I don't eat after dinner. I just don't. It's just not my thing. Okay. I don't eat when I'm by myself. You know, if you've been listening to the call, that's part of my, that's part of my protocol for myself is I don't secret eat. I don't do that anymore. It's not a secret anyway, because I know and my pants know. And that's all I need to know about that, right? My protocol also says I do 64 ounces. I think it actually says 70 to 80 ounces of water a day. So I try and push that a little bit. So I think however you set it up is fine for you. I totally think you should meet yourself where you are. Okay? I don't put anything, the only no thing, know this I have on my protocol is beets. No beets. just because I'm entertained by the fact that I hate beets. So I don't really say no to anything if it's either a daily protocol okay or it's an exception food for me.
Okay, well, that helps. Then the good, better, best worksheet. My accountability group and I were going round and round while I was listening to this call, but we were chatting via we chat on Facebook Messenger because that's just as easier.
Sure.
And we were trying to figure out, so we were having a debate about cheese.
Okay.
Just, you know, is it good? Is cheese ever good? And then can it, how do you make it better and best? And we were having just kind of, you know, a discussion about, okay, for me, I like cheese. So, but American cheese is processed. And so that doesn't make the good list.
Okay.
You know, but that doesn't mean I'm not going to eat it. It's just okay. But then, I mean, all cheese is processed to a point, but cheddar cheese is better than American cheese processed. There are things that American cheese works better with, like making my air quote grilled cheese, because I don't actually grill it in the frying pan. I stick it in the microwave or the toaster oven and let it melt. So it's really melted cheese would be a
better choice. More like cheese bread. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Whereas cheddar doesn't melt, right? It just turns into oily mess. But cheddar cheese, one of my normal breakfast items in order to get some protein is a cheddar cheese stick.
Mm-hmm.
That's the 2% milk one. So it mm-hmm. drops 30 calories. I know we don't count calories, but mm-hmm. that's like a holdover from whatever. And, it works. I like the taste better, actually.
Okay.
So that's kind of a level up, but is there ever a best for cheese? I mean, aside from blue cheese, which I don't know, seems to be, let it mold and then you get to eat it.
Yeah, I think that's very personal. I eat cheese because that's really the only dairy that I get. And I eat full fat cheese. I'm not eating no 2% cheese stick. I'm eating a full fat cheese stick. Okay, and it's going to be a cheddar and it's going to be the brand that I like. I eat a lot of feta cheese. So to me, I've never really tried to up-level cheese. I've just called it a protocol item. I can see what you're saying about American cheese being super processed, but there's like Kraft slices, and then there's that American cheese out of the deli that's cut off that block.
Yeah, and I always get the deli stuff. The Kraft stuff is just nasty.
And that's just, to me, that levels up the taste. I don't know if it levels up the nutrition or anything.
Yeah,
but I've never really tried to level up my cheese. That's just a very interesting question. I'm going to say it's very personal.
And I think that's probably all of this worksheet, the good, better, best. Because I started sort of looking at what do I normally eat over the amount, kind of whether it's amounts or whether it's, types of stuff. And, I eat fruit, but it's not normally processed,
mm-hmm.
except for my no sugar added applesauce, because I can grab it and go with it.
Yeah,
That's my afternoon snack. But now, this afternoon I had an afternoon snack of, I don't know if you can see them, my grapes.
Oh, okay.
And I only ate a few of them mm-hmm. because then I started thinking about maybe I wanted to peel them for no reason other than I was bored. And then I was like, no, you're not hungry anymore.
No, that's right. Good call, Roz. Good call.
The non-scale victories, they're not fermented either. They're actual grapes. I'm very proud of myself.
Laura has a good question. Laura has a good question. She said, maybe you can level up the amount of cheese that you use. So if you're a person that's heavy on the cheese, maybe you go a little bit lighter on the cheese too.
And that's something I hadn't thought of adding was, mm-hmm. The amount, because I saw her comment and I thought that's a good idea.
I don't know that you want to measure it, but it could be the difference between two slices of cheese on your toast or just one mm-hmm. slice of good cheese.
Exactly. Yeah.
So it could be. That's a really good job, Laura. Yeah. That's a good point.
Yeah, no, because I kind of, and then I overall just also had mental chatter about where do I start with this worksheet? And I think I got some ideas because somebody had posted that question
mm-hmm.
in the tribe and just said, show me yours.
Yeah.
Because I wasn't sure, was the intent everything I eat?
No, I think I would pick those things.
Start putting things, you can actually level up.
Right. Those things that you eat routinely that you think mm-hmm. you could level up. I think is
okay, because I'm definitely at that point to start looking for those pieces of data.
Mm-hmm.
My weight loss, similar to yours, is about a pound a week, although mm-hmm. it tends to kind of go down, and then mm-hmm. I plan an exception, it goes up 2 pounds, lose it in 3 days, mm-hmm. and then it's slow but it's steady, and I'm not I'm not comparing to someone who can drop 10 pounds in a week. That's just never been my style, but it's going down.
Yeah.
Lowest number I've seen in years. No complaints here.
Good deal.
Yep. Those were my questions. They're kind of, like I said, process more than
Fine.
Mental chatter but I needed more interactivity.
Good
I will
deal.
See you in about a week and a half.
Yay.
Yeah. I really can't wait to do a big hug.
That's right. Travel safe. We'll see you.
Thanks. See you soon. Bye.
Bye. All right, Teresa, and then Michelle. Thanks for hanging in, guys. Oh, you're back. All right. You there? Can you hear me?
No.
You can't hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay.
I don't know how I got promoted. I didn't mean to.
Oh, your hand was raised again.
I'm sorry.
All right. Good to see
you
again.
I did my plan, though.
I'm so proud. All right. Let me go over here and grab the next one.
Okay.
All right. That was funny. All right, Michelle. Hi. What happened? There you are. Oh, I can't hear you. Where did you go? No, I can't hear you. Let me take you back down to attendee. Go out and then come back in, okay? I'm going to grab Isla real quick. Raise your hand again when you're back in, Michelle. All right, Isla, let's catch you real quick. Are you there? Oh, there you are. Hi.
Okay, hi. So I haven't done one of these before, so if I do something wrong, just
you did me. Perfectly. I can hear you and okay. See you.
Yeah, it kind of kicked me out and then brought me back. So okay. It's really weird.
Yeah.
So I was talking with I don't really do a Marco Polo, but my accountability group today. And one of them suggested I needed to try to get on the Zoom.
Okay.
So I kind of did this kind of in a rush from work. So I'm kind of just still dealing with stuff. So I recently started a management position.
Okay.
And in the last couple of weeks, I have had some issues with some of my reportees, and I'm having a lot of issues with getting blamed because of their feelings of how they're really good and that I'm the only person that thinks that they need to improve anything. Come on, get up here. And that I'm the only boss that has ever written them up and had any issues with them. And like one of them I wrote up, and her whole response to it was how basically everybody's bullying her and everybody else really likes her and thinks she does a good job. I didn't really say that she didn't do a good job, but that there's stuff that you have to fix. Like you can't pick on other people and make them cry at work. That doesn't work. So I'm having a lot of issues dealing with my emotions. Like last night I came home and I ate an entire package of cookies.
Okay.
So that's not how I want to deal with my emotions anymore.
No, no. So do you like how you're showing up at work?
I do. And I feel like I'm showing up in a good way. Like my boss, I have three bosses really that I report to, and then an office manager. And they're all telling me I'm doing a really good job. I feel the way I'm showing up is how I want to show up.
Okay.
Like,
so why did you come home and eat?
I don't want people that are making my patients cry or the other people in the office cry.
Okay. So why did you come home and eat? If you like how you're showing up, why did you come home and eat?
Because I also don't want somebody telling everybody else that I'm picking on them.
Okay. Can you control that?
I can't.
They were running around the office going, Isla is the best boss ever.
I really don't believe that. And I know that's an issue with me, and I'm really trying to work on that. Like when people say good things about me, I'm a lot less likely to believe it.
The reason is because you logically think you're showing up great at work. You're doing all the things. You're probably a little nervous about it, right? You know, I know I need to write more up.
It's nerve-wracking.
Nerve-wracking, but I'm doing it. But in the back of your mind, you're judging yourself. I don't know if I'm doing this well enough. I don't know if they're going to like me. I don't know if I can do this job. All these kinds of thoughts are running around in your mind, mm-hmm. and that's stressing you out and you're coming home and eating. Mm-hmm. So that's what's happening. That's your think, feel, act cycle is, I don't know if I can do this. I don't know if I'm doing this right. Whatever that thought is that's leading to doubt, mm-hmm. right?
That's yeah. Oh yeah, mean. Totally. It's total doubt.
Yeah. So you have to clean up that thought. Mm-hmm. You have to tell yourself.
So how do I get past that? Because when I do TDLs, I literally get stuck. I just can't get past the, if I mess this up or what other people think about me. And I know it shouldn't be about what other people think about me, mm-hmm. but even
but it always is. It always is.
But it's like, I can't get past it. And I've had a lot in the last couple months I'm dealing mm-hmm. with. Is in a bad car accident. I have something going on with my thyroid. I'm dealing with a lot with my parents, with my health, and then all this management stuff. And it's like, I can deal with everything else, but then when you add somebody blaming me for what they're doing wrong, it's like, that's the one thing that is tipping me over.
So someone blaming you for what they're doing wrong. That sounds like anger. That sounds like anger.
Well, and I'll tell you, like, because I've had to pull three different people in what, the last 2 weeks for counseling or write-ups, and only one person is the one that's sitting there and telling me that I'm being a bully or that it's not their fault. It's everybody else that's seeing it wrong. Mm-hmm.
Is that, do you see that as correct?
No. And no, okay. Even
so, what's the problem? Why can't they just say that and you allow, you know, you just have to let them have their thoughts.
Okay.
Let them do what they're going to, cause they're going to do, you know what? It doesn't matter if you eat or not, they're going to think and say and do whatever it is they want to do.
Right. Okay.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah, I mean, that's true.
You can come home and eat cookies and you can not come home and eat cookies. It's not going to change them at all. You have to decide how you're going to show up. And if you're going to be the strong supervisor that apparently your bosses and your office manager are preaching, are telling you that you're, you know, doing what you're supposed to do, right?
Yeah.
They're behind you or whatever. They're supporting you. This person over here is just running their mouth and they're allowed to do that, unfortunately, you know, until they're, you know, called in the office and written up for running their mouth.
Yeah.
You know, until there's consequences, they're just going to do that. So you have to have enough belief in yourself and in why you're in that job and in what you're doing to transition that to home and say, I've got this too, right? I don't need to mm-hmm. eat because I showed up exactly the way I was supposed to today. You're eating to burn off the stress.
Yeah. When I was exercising, I was burning that by running. Mm-hmm. And right now I'm not supposed to be running.
Yeah.
So it's like, I don't know another way of doing it.
You manage your mind. You have to mm-hmm. manage your mind to manage the stress.
So how do I do that?
Lots of thought downloads and models.
Okay.
Lots of journaling. Lots of deciding I'm doing the right thing. And it doesn't matter what they think. Lots of not internalizing what someone else is saying about you.
Okay.
Super easy to internalize the, I was doing such a great job. Super hard not to internalize, man, that Isla, she is something else. Do you know what she told me? Blah, 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 blah. Right? Because that's getting back to you. And
what's really funny is like when I was a nurse at the hospital and people would say, like when I knew I was doing what I was supposed to do and what the doctors wanted you to do, people could call me the meanest stuff and tell me I was stuff. Mm-hmm. And I was like, well, that's cool that you think that. But
yeah. So why can't you do that now?
It's hard to sit there and say that.
Oh, no, it's not. It's the same thing.
It's just, yeah.
You just have to adjust to that. You just have to repractice that same thought.
Yeah.
That's the mind management that helps the stress.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm just going to have to really focus on it. And because I know I did that when I was a new nurse and had to adjust to
yeah.
fixing that.
That's what I would journal about. here's how I handled this when I was a nurse. Here's what I can do now as a manager. Okay.
Okay.
That's exactly what I do. You've got great data to draw on in order to figure out how to utilize it now.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. That makes total sense.
Cool. I'm glad.
All right.
All right.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right. Thanks.
Bye. Bye. All right, Michelle. Let's see if you've got your sound. Oh, I think you've got it. I can't hear you. What? I heard the ding dong. I could have sworn I would have been able to hear you. Is it a question you can put in the Q&A? No? Man, how? I wish I knew what to tell you to do. You went all the way out and came all the way back in, and when it asked you to click here to join the audio, you clicked. Do you have headphones that you can try? No headphones. I'm so sorry. If you can put it into Q&A, what you're wanting to talk about, I'll just start talking and maybe it'll help. Okay. All right. See ya. All right. I got one more hand. Lonnie, let's see if we can do you pretty quick. Are you there?
I'm here. Can you see me?
I can't see you.
Nope.
Oh, here you come. There you are. What's up?
Hello.
Hi.
So nice to meet you. So I was doing some of the work on my future self.
And
thank you for your comment. But I'm still really struggling with the future self. Because I kind of don't know where to go with that.
Okay.
I like my life, so mm-hmm. I can't imagine my life changing a whole lot because okay. I lost weight other mm-hmm. than being healthier and being able to do more activities.
Okay.
So I'm struggling with, is it that I'm just having trouble envisioning that or?
I think you're overcomplicating it.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you like your life and you're happy, that's okay. You don't have to change that part of you. If you, let's say you decide you want to lose 30 pounds though. Okay. Mm-hmm. Can you picture yourself 30 pounds down?
Yeah.
What does she look like? What is she doing? How is she healthier? Is she?
She's able to walk and keep up. My guy's super healthy. With mm-hmm. him, and wear cute clothes to work.
Okay. So does she hike? Does she swim? Yeah. Hikes?
Yeah, she hikes.
She wears cute clothes.
Yep.
She's 30 pounds down. What else is she doing?
I'm not sure.
Not sure?
No.
So maybe that's it. Maybe you want to lose 30 pounds. You'll be healthier. Maybe your knees don't hurt. Maybe you're hiking now, right? Maybe you're hiking waterfalls. Maybe you're, mm-hmm. Who knows? That's what you do is you picture yourself in the future as this improved version of yourself, whatever it is you want to improve about yourself. For you, if your life is great and you're happy and, the job's great and all that, you don't have to, that doesn't have to change in your future self.
Mm-hmm.
You just think about who Lonnie is, at a certain point, 3 months from Christmas time. Christmas is how many weeks? Probably about, let's say it's 12 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. 12 weeks might be 15 pounds for you. So what are you wearing at Christmas time? Do you have a new sparkly red top? Do you mm-hmm. have, you're 15 pounds down. That's at least a size. You're hiking with your husband. Tell me what healthier means.
My legs don't swell as much.
Yeah.
I'm able to walk farther. I'm not as tired after work. Mm-hmm. Cause sometimes I'm really tired. We went to Italy and it was really hard to keep up with him.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
You know, that type of stuff.
Okay.
A long time ago, I had lost 100 pounds and I kept it off for 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
I gained it back from stress eating, but I was mm-hmm. really unhappy at that time. I was in a really mm-hmm. horrible relationship with someone who told me that just awful. He was physically and emotionally abusive. And so, like, I would like to look like I did then, only be happy the way I am now. And I think it's reasonable.
So that's your future self?
Okay.
That's it. That's all it is. It's deciding who you want to be, what you want to look like, and why, and what, you know, what about that changes over mm-hmm. time. You know, if you're in a great relationship now, you don't have to change that. You just mm-hmm. want a healthier body. Sometimes that's all it is, and that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that.
Okay. Thanks.
Does that help?
Yeah, that does
help. I think you were just making it harder than it needed to be.
Yeah. Thank you.
You're welcome. See ya.
Bye.
All right, let's do this Q&A real quick. I'm a September baby. I'm having the hardest time putting down what I'm going to eat for the day. It's as if I have never eaten a single thing in my life. How can I get past this? I start thinking that I don't know what I will be in the mood for. How do I get past that? Here's what I usually do, or what I tell people to do, especially those that don't know what they're, I'm using air quotes here, don't know what they're going to feel like eating. At some point, you're going to decide what you're going to eat, right? It's going to be lunchtime. You're going to say, I think I'll have a hamburger. Okay. All you're doing is backing that decision up a few hours. That's it. So today you might say, I think at lunchtime tomorrow, I'm going to feel like a hamburger. And you write down a hamburger and you just decide that's what it's going to be. That's it. The whole point of deciding ahead of time is so that you are not reacting. I've already talked on this call about reacting. I talked with, who was it about that? I don't know. I have a note here somewhere. Anyway, you want to not react with food. You want to make those decisions ahead of time so you're making them with both eyes open. Okay? So how do you get past that? You just start doing it and telling yourself, this is what I'm going to do. I mean, that's it. There's no magic to it. There's just committing to what you write down. If you absolutely don't know what to pick, pick what you ate today. It's the easiest thing to do. Because you ate it today, you could probably eat it tomorrow too. Michelle wants to be the first caller's accountability partner if she's looking for one. I liked her. That was Teresa. And I hope you guys hooked up in the chat. If you did not, that's what you should do for now. Okay. I think you might have though, because that was really early. That was 6:17. And I think I saw some traffic about that. All right, Misty, how do you deal with people that don't like you? I have this innate need to be liked, and when someone doesn't like me or I perceive I am not liked at all, all I want to do is eat and seek out attention, sometimes negative. Well, Misty, I listened to a podcast one time from the Life Coach School, who that's where Corinne got her certification. It was called, I believe it's called Other People's Opinions. And Brooke, who does the podcast, was talking about, you think of it in terms of, she said, you think of yourself as a peach, okay? Maybe you're a peach. Not everybody likes peaches. Some people love peaches. Some people are just okay with peaches, but not everybody likes them, and that's okay. So you have to be okay with people just not liking you. You know, not everybody likes me. I'm sure some people think I'm dull as dirt, you know, because I'm kind of the straight one, right? but I'm okay with that because I like myself. And I think that's what it boils down to with you. If you're always looking for other people to like you, you may not be doing enough work on being okay with who you are. That goes back to seeking out attention. If you were confident in the person that you were, you wouldn't be seeking out attention. So your work is to work on liking yourself so that you don't need other people to like you. Okay? Because if you like yourself enough, then you're gonna put out the air that because I like myself, put out the air that you're likable, right? So I hope that helps. If you be super interesting to talk to you. So if you can come back next Tuesday, or if you want to talk to Betsy this coming Saturday, I'd like this would be really interesting to talk about one-on-one, you know, together. Michelle, is it important to know why we secretly eat like Stephanie describes? No, I don't think it's important to know. I don't know why I ever started. I don't think a lot of that matters. What I think matters is how you show up today and whether or not you're ready to decide that you don't eat in secret anymore, because that's what you can do. You're going to have the urge. Believe me, if Ken were to leave this house right now, I'd be like, Ken just left. Maybe we should check out the pantry. I know there's an open bag of chips down there, but then I've worked on it so long now that I'm like, I don't eat when he's not here. And besides, I'm not hungry and it's not on the plan. So I have a lot of reasons for not going after that bag of chips. I've already had dinner. I don't eat after dinner. There's another one. So once you do your work on how you show up today on your plan when you're hungry, that eating when people aren't in the house kind of takes care of itself, because you have that dialogue you've created about not eating after 8 o'clock or not doing a nighttime snack or whatever. It doesn't matter if people are in the house or not. Hope that helps. Kathy, the chips and cheese, you're killing me. Nah. Oh, Misty says, thank you. Good. I hope that helped, Misty. Is there anything else? I think I've got all the questions answered. I hope you guys have a good evening. I had a lot of fun tonight. Thanks for all the great questions and for everybody who showed up. And I will see you next week. Y'all take care. Bye.